This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Protocol for Life Balance supplement product line. Protocol's mission is to provide top-quality supplements at affordable prices. Protocol offers 50 years of expertise, providing formulations based on the latest advances in nutritional science and incorporating trademarked ingredients that have been tested for efficacy in clinical trials and laboratory studies. I'm so confident in their products that I've included many of them in my Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle Protocols. Protocol for Life Balance is only available through licensed practitioners, so ask your doctor or healthcare professional for it by name. You can get them at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're answering your questions. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. I'm with Layla Mutin, who's our nutritionist in residence. And Layla writes a column for our newsletter, as well as does original podcasts of her own as part of our weekly offerings on the Intelligent Medicine roster. Oh, by the way, we just got Spotify. Spotify now carries, which is kind of
terrific.
I don't know why they didn't, but you know, so a lot of the services that carry podcasts now carry, and a lot, and some people just have Spotify. A subscription to Spotify. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you're walking to work, or if you're commuting, or if you have downtime, or you know, maybe you're doing the chores, or you know, which is something, you know, I like to have something. I'd like to multitask, you know, so I'd like to have listen to something informative while I work, or maybe I'm preparing dinner. So you can download our podcast and listen. Okay. What's our next question, please?
Okay. We've got an email from Annette. Hello, Dr. Hoffman. I just want to know what your feelings would be on the subject of blood thinners. I'm a 71-year-old, very healthy woman, except for prediabetes, which I've been reversing with exercise and diet. I'm feeling really great. I'm on no meds.
Excellent.
I was in the ER in June and was diagnosed with atrial flutter. I went to see a cardiologist and she wants me to start taking Eliquis. I did not fill the prescription.
Okay.
She had me wear a heart monitor for 30 days. Yeah. I felt so good. I was expecting a good report. She said I had about 8 incidents during those 30 days of AFib.
Yeah.
Here's Annette's question.
AFib or A-flutter?
AFib.
Fib.
With the monitor.
Oh, okay.
I am so anti-pills and usually take care of everything in a natural way with supplements and food. I've read the side effects of Eliquis. It seems like a nightmare.
Yeah.
So I researched what I could take. Is garlic an option?
No. Okay. Well, here's the deal.
And
this is like the oldest question that I've had answered from the beginning of my career. And I answered the same way that I answered it 30 years ago when there weren't a lot of alternatives. The only really effective blood thinner was Coumadin in the in the day. And it's like, I can't tell you how many times I've been asking, oh, is there an alternative to Coumadin? I don't want to be taking rat poison.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the answer is not really, because there are many things that thin the blood.
Yeah.
Like fish oil, like garlic, and
like natto.
Natto is more the
Natto kinase.
Actually a source of vitamin K2.
Yes,
right?
it's the enzyme kinase.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. However, their effects are weak and unreliable. And that's good in a way, because otherwise we'd have to tell all people who take fish oil and ginkgo and things like that, oh my God, you know,
don't have
careful.
A hemorrhagic stroke.
Exactly. They would be at risk, and they would, that those supplements would carry the same risks as Eliquis. When you read about it, well, what are the main problems with Eliquis? I mean, you actually see advertisements on TV. Have you taken Eliquis or any similar blood thinners? Have you suffered a stroke? You know, it's because while it's what's called a risk-benefit equation, is that they prevent enough clotting episodes, which are much more frequent as causes of stroke, by a factor of 10, but they can cause some hemorrhagic events. They thin the blood too much.
Yeah.
So that, and those companies are aware of it. They defend the product in lawsuits and class action lawsuits, and maybe there have been some payouts.
Yeah.
But the net effect is they probably protect people because, you know, I'll just give you an anecdote, is I'm going to be going to my 50th reunion, my 50th high school reunion. I went to my 40th reunion, and I saw a guy that I used to play with as a kid. We used to be like mad scientists in his basement with, like, this is my early science career. We would have those, you know, those chemistry sets.
Yes,
and
they
we would
were
do,
fun.
Like, pouring chemicals. And then we almost got, like, in serious trouble because we wanted to set off a rocket.
What little boy doesn't want to watch things, make things go boom?
in sixth grade, true story, they found out about our plans. Or maybe we said we're going to do it.
Yeah.
They panicked. Mm-hmm. They panicked. They said, oh, my God, you're going to, you know, we were, you know, our parents were called in. It was a whole thing. But anyway, so this, I knew this kid very well. I see him and I go, hey, Bruce. And he goes, hey, how are you?
Oh.
And he could barely speak. Mm. Well, long short of it, he became a NASA scientist.
Wow.
One day he had a stroke. Oh. He had silent atrial fibrillation. So this is 10 years ago. So we were like in our 50s. At a very young age, in his prime, he had a debilitating stroke.
Wow.
And he's, you know, so I said, well, what's your recovery been like? He says, I couldn't read. I couldn't speak. He says, I'm just, you know, I managed to discern what he was saying because, you know, he has this very sort of clumsy speech. But he was already several months into his rehab from the stroke.
Uh-huh.
But it illustrates the potential hazards of not having blood adequately thinned when you have atrial fibrillation. Because it's actually, you may say, well, I'm only in atrial fibrillation a little bit from time to time. I'm mostly
eight
okay.
times in the last 30
yeah, I'm,
days.
I'm also, like this. That's more dangerous, actually, because it's like switching gears, you know, with a manual transmission. There's a little grinding of the gears or change in the blood flow when there's a change to atrial fibrillation.
And that could be the most dangerous moment.
That sets up an eddy of a current in your heart where the blood might, instead of flowing smoothly, might stay in a stagnant pool and clot.
Ah.
And then you shoot that clot into your brain and boom, you got it. Yeah. So I got to say, you know, use the medication. And, you know, it's your doctor's decision whether to use Eliquis or to use...
Coumadin or to use...
Yeah, right. The advantage of
Pradaxa.
Eliquis, Pradaxa is another one, exactly. Yeah. Pradaxa and Eliquis are some, and I think there's a third, maybe a fourth now. These are me-too drugs. The advantage of those things is you don't need frequent blood testing. It's sort of like there's a dose. It used to be the big disadvantage was, lo and behold, if you have an accident or something, there was no way to reverse it.
Cut yourself shaving.
Yeah, right. Well, more than that, like if you have like a serious accident, you know, you're going to just...
Bleed.
They now have... ways of reversing that if you end up in the emergency room on those medications.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, when you have those medications, there's a warning, like, don't get a spinal injection.
Huh.
Oh, you might think, oh, you know, I've got like sciatica. I'm getting like a steroid shot in my spine.
Yeah.
Very bad because that could bleed and that could paralyze you.
Oh, my.
So there's warnings.
No wonder she calls it nightmarish.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary. It's scary.
It is scary,
but,
yeah.
Hey, you know, on your way to being 103, you're going to have to make some compromises.
Right.
You know, that's the way it is.
Well, where does aspirin fall into the blood thinning?
Aspirin is a blood thinner that is...
It's more to do with the platelets?
It's different. It's unreliable. They did a big study, and they found that it was not reliable for atrial fibrillation stroke prevention.
Okay.
It offers... It's unpredictable because different people metabolize aspirin differently. Some people are... aspirin resistors.
Okay.
Or aspirin non-responders. They don't get a blood thinning effect. And others get, you know, too profound an effect, potentially.
Wow.
So, and of course, aspirin recently was not shown in healthy people without...
primary prevention.
People with cardiovascular risk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are certain circumstances where they will tell you to take aspirin, and that may be right. You know, very high-risk people might benefit. But moderate-risk people, like, say, you got high cholesterol, you're middle-aged, you're a little overweight, you know, blood sugar's a little off, and they can tell you, oh, you should take an aspirin because you get a heart attack. That doesn't seem to make a difference.
Yeah.
According to the study.
That's interesting.
Can we pause now? Because we'd like to allow our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message.
Okay.
So let's do that now. And please listen up. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. So please patronize them. And now back to our questions. What's our next question?
Okay. We've got an email from Peggy. Dr. Hoffman and Layla, my friend was recently diagnosed with achalasia. What would you offer a patient with this rare swallowing disorder?
Isn't that good for colds and flus, achalasia?
No. Achinasia?
Oh, that's something else.
That's achinasia, right.
Okay, so let's spell it.
Achalasia is A-C-H-A-L-A-S-I-A. There's four A's in there. Wow.
Right. That's a good
It's all Tall Bama White. Four A's.
Right. Crossword puzzle.
Right. So, my friend was recently diagnosed with achalasia. What would you offer a patient with this rare swallowing disorder? My friend says he can't eat.
It's not that rare. Yeah.
My friend says he can't eat and is wasting away.
Oh.
I suggested smoothies instead of Ensure. I suggest anything instead of Ensure.
Well, okay, so achalasia can occur for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
It can occur as a sequel of radiation. It can occur as a part of scleroderma, you know, quite commonly that affects the swallowing mechanism, and you know there are other reasons that it develops.
It's basically a spasm.
Well, it's not necessarily a spasm. It's like a loss of there, because there is a spasm disorder, but this isn't necessarily. It's just a loss of
the muscles aren't coordinating properly.
Yeah, more so
it's
that.
It's all of that. It's got some type of a spasm, I think, is part of the criteria, but also having to do with sphincter, maybe with gag reflex.
Well, this is really a subspecialty in nutrition, isn't it? Because
there's dysphagia.
Yeah. Because you have to create a different diet. So
exactly.
First of all, is there a remedy for it? Is there a supplement or anything that makes that better?
Magnesium comes to mind. If this is a problem with muscles tensing and not relaxing at the right time, which is a feature of achalasia, is the lack of relaxation in those muscles. If I was a gambler, I would say magnesium should be the number one thing.
Yeah.
I was even thinking before, you know, Myers cocktail, Dr. Hoffman, when you were doing
It's possible,
IVs
and that doesn't have to even be swallowed. You know, if people have trouble swallowing pills, then, you know, getting the IV magnesium might be helpful. They say it's so rare, it only affects one in every 100,000 individuals. Well, you know, population of...
It's dysphagia that's more common.
Yeah, yeah.
And we see that more in the elderly.
Yeah, let's distinguish. Dysphagia is like difficulty swallowing.
And that could be for any number of reasons.
Like
a stroke or something, or just trouble. And basically you get a swallow evaluation from a speech pathologist who basically recommends then to the dietitian in the hospital, this person can have pureed foods. They can't have thin liquids.
Okay.
Those thin liquids need to be thickened
right.
to make swallowing easier, because thin liquids like kind of just run on down and can increase the risk of going the wrong way.
Yeah.
So thin liquids can be tough.
Aspiration.
You know, aspiration is actually the risk. And with achalasia, you kind of have to be careful the same thing depending on how this is presenting in this particular person, but they have trouble eating. Smoothies are better.
So, I mean, you get this from time to time. You get people who say, I can't swallow.
No.
So when you want
a lot of people who tell me they can't swallow pills.
Yeah.
So I say, here, take liquid fish oil, take a liquid multi.
Right.
Like I've had to do for my sister.
Yeah.
You know, she can't swallow a pill to save her life. Mm-hmm. But that's just what it is. And so we give her liquid.
And for some people, it's almost like a sort of a psychological thing. It's not necessarily a physical
impairment. They're
afraid
of gagging. They're afraid of choking. Or it might have happened and they've got a little PTSD from it or something like that.
Right.
So it could be that. But, yeah.
So
I think in extreme cases with achalasia or with dysphagia, you need a stomach tube eventually.
Are there any pre-made formulas that you favor? Because many of the companies make certain shakes that are nutritional shakes.
Yes.
Do you like some of them?
There are nutritional shakes, but more importantly is the thickening. How much thickening do you need for that swallow to happen more easily?
Okay.
So there's a product called Thicket. I'm sure it's changed over the years. It's been many years since I've been a hospital dietitian, but it's basically a thickening agent.
Okay.
Kind of, it's a plant thing. It's not anything that the FDA would have.
Because you don't want it too watery.
No, you don't want it too watery. You want enough thickening for some comfort and some control going down. With a thin liquid, it could just slip away.
Right.
And that's the fear, is that you will go into aspiration.
Right.
That would be.
Which can cause pneumonia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And silent aspiration is one of the worst things that can happen in your sleep.
Yeah.
And it's frequent with the elderly who have dysphagia or trouble with that, because they wouldn't even, you know, if you and I gag on dinner or something we're drinking, we cough, right? We choke a little bit, we cough.
Violently.
But somebody with dysphagia, they may not cough at all.
Right, their cough reflex may be suppressed.
Exactly.
And especially with medication. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, that's one of the ways where people who OD die. Yeah, because they so suppress their cough reflex that they they get completely stoned and they aspirate and literally asphyxiate themselves.
Yeah, here's an example of asphyxiation. Any of you Led Zeppelin fans, the original drummer, well, they broke up after John Bonham died. He was the drummer.
Yeah.
He drank a lot
and
he asphyxiated on his own vomit. That's what happened.
Yeah.
That's how he died.
Right. Do you think it was just alcohol?
I don't know.
Yeah. It might
but
be
he was
more than
a
alcohol.
Big, hard drinker.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, alcohol alone can do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. If you drink enough of it,
Yeah. And, you know, and that's also, you know, why in a circumstance like that, you want to flip somebody over.
Yes.
Know, so you want to, like,
or at least on their left
clear
side.
Clear their airway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But when you're asleep and
we're
passed out, it's not even sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's in it. There is an example of a silent asphyxiation and then death as a result.
Yep. All right. Well, two more uplifting subjects. Do we have another question?
Oh, well, here's another. Okay. We've got an email from Liz. Could you, Dr. Hoffman, what do you think about krill oil? I would like to know your opinion about krill oil, because this is something that Dr. Mercola recommends as opposed to fish oil.
It always keeps coming up, you know, with like Dr. Mercola. Look, I mean, here's the thing. I think Dr. Mercola's great, and I think he brings out a lot of important issues. But
he does.
You know, this thing with krill oil is, it so bothers me, because I feel he has proprietary interest in promoting krill oil.
Okay.
And krill oil, there's no convincing evidence that it's superior to fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
There are assertions that it's got more bioavailability than fish oil, which are based on weak evidence. It also has some astaxanthin in it, which, in my opinion, is no great shakes.
Yeah.
Because to the extent you eat salmon, it's red, you're going to get some astaxanthin.
Yes.
Now, so, you know, what's the big deal with astaxanthin? And I just think that, you know, we started the podcast by talking about nicotinamide riboside, and how the research is becoming more and more robust, and more and more research teams across the world are saying, send us some material so we can study it. That's not happening with astaxanthin. Astaxanthin has a few studies. They're of limited value. It's, I think, a B-list supplement, in my opinion. It's not one of those prime supplements that you need to take that's going to do amazing things for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Liz, there answers your question.
On the other hand, it's not harmful. It's not bad. It's a way to get your fish oil, but it's not superior fish oil.
It's not superior fish oil. Yeah. Okay. All right.
In fact, it's relatively uneconomical. Then the pills are small. People like that, but they say, the pills are small, but it's so much more bioavailable. Show me the literature.
Yeah.
Show me the proof that it's so much more efficacious.
Yeah.
But you'll notice that extolling this product, you could throw that back at me and say, you talk about CBD and then you offer people an opportunity to buy it. Okay. I believe in it. I think it really works.
And we've already seen a lot of people benefit from it.
Yeah.
Really. I have too. So it's great. It's great. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, that's all the questions we have for this week. And we encourage you to send questions to Radio Program. That's one word, radioprogram@AOL.com. And you'll be sure to hearing from us quite soon. The waiting list is not long in the doctor's office to get your questions answered on our weekly Q&A with Layla. Thanks, Layla, for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.